Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Well, we got a big show planned. Stromer got a new truck.
Yep.
Gray
and beautiful.
We do some Ace on the House theater, which is...
Oh, it was one of our finest. You know what? I learned never to deny in improv, and I think I did a fantastic job.
You know, I've gotten into it with you a little time or two about timely jams.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been a little tough on you.
That's
and
right.
Your carpentry
yeah.
skills
yeah.
every once in a while. But yeah. your acting chops, brother.
You are the
through
best.
The roof.
Love your work,
through
too, friend. You bet.
Through the roof. First Manscaped. Support for Ace on the House comes from Manscaped. Number one in men's below-the-belt grooming precision engineered tools for the family jewels. See what I did there,
Ooh,
Stromer?
That's a rhyming scheme.
Manscaping accents are finally a thing of the past. Manscaped redesigned their electric trimmer. Their lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology. Won't nick or snag the nuts, baby. And that is it. That can be a doozy. So take it easy down there. Also, you don't want to use the same trimmer you use on your face as you use on your nether regions, right?
I don't. And also, my son, you know, I gave him his own because he kept doing that very thing. So it's important to have one of these.
You get 20% off. Plus free shipping with the code ACE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off free shipping, manscaped.com. Use the code ACE. Your balls will thank you.
This is Corolla Digital.
A master carpenter who's here to help you out. If you can't fix it, then let Ace show you how. Ace on the House. Ace on the House. Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on a church. We're going to get on. And welcome to Ace on the House.
You got to get it.
You got to get it, man. Carl, that's new truck owner.
Yeah.
Eric Stromer
so
over there.
I'm so glad you noticed. Wow, what a compliment.
I got to tell you
what
that.
What do you think?
There's a new color out there.
Yeah.
There's two new colors.
Yeah.
You know, you do, you know, there's, I never liked a black car. There's two car colors that are in vogue right now.
Right.
For the racy cars, there's this orange
yeah.
that everyone's using. Yeah. And for the trucks and a lot of the Audis, they have this sort of taupey gray or
yes.
something. I've seen a few Audis in this color.
Yeah.
It's a good look.
It isn't it? It takes the glisten out of it, but it gives you that flat gloss.
You know what I never got?
Huh.
Any vehicle of any kind. And I've seen Nissans. I've seen a lot of F-150 trucks. I've
yeah.
seen a lot of Mustangs. Lots of smaller Fords, like from the 80s. It was like an 80s color.
Yeah.
Never got it on a car. The greeny, turquoisey color.
Ooh,
I never fucking got it.
It's
got to be black I get, white I get, red
like
I get,
turquoise?
Silver. No, it's a weird cut.
Yeah.
There is no iconic race car scheme that has the turquoise.
Why is racing green what it is?
That's British racing green.
Why is that?
Because each nation
yeah.
would kind of pick their colors.
Okay.
So Germany had silver.
Yeah.
American was white and blue. Like picture a Shelby Mustang, white
yeah.
with a blue stripe on it.
Yeah.
Ferrari, Italian,
red. Yeah.
I think it's like Belgium or something was like yellow. I can't remember there or somewhere in central south of Brazil or something's
yeah.
like yellow. The different nations, but Aston Martin has a racing green, which is different than the British racing green. But what I'm saying is each nation sort of had a color,
right?
So if you would go to a race like Le Mans,
I'm sorry, what
Le Mans?
Oh, okay.
And you saw a silver car
yeah.
in the lead. You knew Germany was
yeah.
leading the race.
Okay.
And if you saw right now, it didn't.
Now, did these all emerge at the same time in history, or it kind of evolved that you know just winning cars or nations that were good at auto racing chose these colors?
Well, basically the same time in history because they couldn't have been like painting their horses silver
yeah.
and stuff like that, you know, because the car hasn't been around that
that's
long.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
But
good point.
That's
yeah.
a decent point.
Very decent point.
But
fair.
Yeah, about
yeah.
the fair point. I painted my donkey red.
Yeah.
So they started, I'd say probably the 40s, maybe the 50s is when it kicked
in. So what
about
the Japanese? What do they have for the Datsun and the Nissan and all that stuff?
Well, the thing that I always think is funny, it's an observation, and I want to thank Manscaped.com, promo code ACE, and ADT, and Geico for sponsoring the show. I have always said this. I have plenty of Datsuns that are race cars from the 60s and the 70s. There were a handful of major teams out here who ran the Nissans. There was BRE.
Okay.
There was Bob Sharp or Newman Sharp, became Paul Newman's and Bob Sharp's team, Sharp team, Motorsports. There was another group out here called Electromotive, and those were kind of the three main campaigners of Z cars and 510s and Japanese cars.
Yeah.
All three color schemes, red, white, and blue.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And were they mocking us? What were they doing? Or was it just that the Americans took to them and assigned it?
They had bombed Pearl Harbor.
I remember hearing something about that.
Yeah. Not too many years before that.
Yeah.
They were interested in breaking into our market and selling their vehicles to the people they bombed.
Oh, so appeal to the patriotism.
So you painting it the color of a Zero fighter with a big red dot on the road.
Kamikaze red.
Yeah.
No, you don't want to do that.
No.
Interesting.
No.
Yeah.
No. So that's pretty much how they sold cars.
Where else can you get the history of color in the automotive world than from the great Ace on the House?
That's why you have to do this show.
That's right.
Now, I promised to talk about woodworking on my car show for 5 minutes. Yeah,
exactly.
Just to get the balance
Can I just bring up briefly, please notice when you leave today, my new lock box.
I saw your neck box back there.
It's very undersized for a reason, because I can still fit all the stuff underneath it. It doesn't obscure the view, and I don't need much because I have a lock box where I transport tools. I thought it was a great solution.
That was one of my when I was riding high at some point.
Were you high? Were you riding high and dirty, or just high?
Just pretty much. I was high and poor.
Yeah.
I got a Nissan pickup truck, a 79 Datsun.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a burnt orange.
Yeah.
It was a weird Datsun color. Gary, you might find, you can see a picture of me standing out in my bathrobe. I think I got my niece and my Datsun behind me. I also found a lockbox, a bed box.
Yeah.
I found it in the recycler. Like, I couldn't buy anything new.
Sure.
But this thing was like, instead of $129, it was like $65 because it had the locks punched out.
Oh, yeah.
But I could still use it.
Put stuff in there.
Still
you
put
can't
stuff.
Lock it.
No, but I got to tell you, man, containers used to be a hot commodity.
Yeah.
Like, if you had places to keep your screws, you know, they didn't really, that wasn't a big part of the business back then. It's like there were tools, but they didn't really have organization stuff, like the buckets that stuff and around. Gary, if you can pull in on that Datsun truck, Gary's good at this. I took that bed box. I painted that baby with a spray can.
What color did you go?
I think we can figure it out pretty quickly here.
Oh, once we see the image.
Gary sucks it in here.
Did you art direct that photo with the color blue bathrobe against the red / orange vehicles that you had? Is that an art direction thing?
No, but I did. I did have my Datsun pickup.
You got the window.
I got the split window.
The new truck's got the window that goes down.
Power.
The whole power window in the back window.
How about no headrest? Just a bench. Just your head against the glass. Your head leaned against glass.
That's right.
I'm 6'2".
Yeah.
That's a miniature truck.
Yeah.
When you get inside a miniature truck from 1979 and you're 6'2", and your bench seat is pushed all the way back, the top of the bench goes to the bottom of your armpit, and then your head goes against the glass.
Here's the good news.
That's how it works.
In a rear-end collision, and I know because I've been in so many accidents, your head would snap forward and then back, shatter the window, and then stop on the top of the toolbox. So yeah, it wouldn't fully break. You would just be paralyzed. So that's good.
You know why they didn't need – they didn't classify trucks as streetcars at the beginning.
What do you mean? I don't understand.
If that was if that thing had to pass through DOT, through Department of Transportation, they would have said, hey, where's the headrest?
Oh, really?
It's 1979. We need a headrest.
Oh.
We're not going to clear you. But they said, this is a farm truck. This is a work truck. Now, everyone drove them on the streets. They just didn't have to pass the regulation.
Look at the tie-downs built in, though. That's a hell of an idea.
Oh, man, I remember when trucks had the weird hooks hanging off the side of the bed that you could tie stuff down.
Now I just have four positions in the back of this thing. That's it. But that's enough.
Reverse cowgirl, wheelbarrow.
Yeah, you did.
Missionary. And what,
that's
what,
right.
Doggy? What's the
doggy is my personal favorite.
Yeah. All right, Gary, you can pop that off there. But, man, was that a miniature truck. But I got that truck. I got it out of the recycler.
Yeah.
Got it from a dude who took really good care of it. So it was really clean. It was really in good shape. And
do you remember the guy? Like, was it sketchy to go there? Or was it just like, hey, man, I want your truck. Here it is. Or was it? Did he have, like, barbiturates on the coffee
table? I could literally take you to that guy's apartment.
You still remember?
I remember that it was right off. It was up Laurel Canyon, and I lived on Laurel.
Yeah.
It was across from a little below Ventura Boulevard. It was down one of the side street, like Valley Heart or whatever it goes, where the wash is, where the studios are, and blah, blah, blah. And it was like one of those little bungalows. And it was so weird having to have these, like, interactions. Like, I don't think people get it. Like, first off, everything I bought from the recycler.
Right.
I bought everything used.
Yeah.
Every car part, tools, everything.
You have to develop some sense of bartering and, you know, just conversation ability, right?
I've had conversations with dudes in my street, like out in front of my apartment, who wanted to, like, buy my truck. I've had arguments with guys. I showed up at the exact same time is another dude who wanted to buy a Ninja 600 Kawasaki in Reseda.
Yeah.
And we're both standing there.
Like bidding on it?
Well, it was weird. I didn't have the money with me. I just, like, showed up and I was going to be like, I didn't have the cash.
Sure.
You know? I was like, oh, I was just going to show up and go, oh, I want this bike. The bike wasn't starting because the battery was bad. But the bike was, I could tell the bike was new and clean and super low miles, but it just wasn't, it had a bad battery. Like, I just figured out I can, for $60, I can get a new battery and this bike will be brand new. And this guy should be selling it for $1,400 and he's selling it for $900 or something because it has a bad. And we're in an underground parking lot and everything was in an apartment, you know, and we're just standing and there's another dude there. We just got there at the same time. And the guy was selling it to us. He goes, oh, you both want it? And we're like, yeah. And we're like, we got here at the same time. And he goes, you both have cash? And the guy's like, yeah, I got cash. And I was like, yeah, I got cash. But I didn't have cash.
That's the dueler. Right? That's Kenny Rogers shit there.
And
the gambler.
So we're both standing there.
Yeah.
And then he goes, now I'm expecting him to go, well, all right, let's start the bidding at, what are we at, $900?
Yeah.
Like, who wants to pay me $950? But he just goes, well, why don't we flip a coin? And I was like, okay, I got no cash, and he's not bidding up. So I'm like, yeah, we'll flip a coin. So we flipped a coin, and I won.
Yeah.
And then that guy left, and then I told the guy, yeah, I don't have any cash.
And what did he say?
He's like, well, you better go get some cash. And I was like, yeah, I'm just going to go home, grab it, and come back or whatever. I do remember going, and I remember pulling my buddy Chris's brother out of school. I was like, I need this 16-year-old dude to drive the truck to help me load the bike up or whatever it is, because the bike wouldn't run.
Yeah.
And I remember pulling Ricky about out of the 10th grade or something. I was like, you're coming with me. I don't know how it worked. I went over there. I bought the thing. I got a new battery. Thing ran like a top.
It really did.
Had no problem.
So you were completely right about the condition.
I was, but I had it in the back of my head that I was cursed.
No.
I just kept thinking, it's going to be ironic when you get killed on this motorcycle that you won it with this coin toss.
Almost like a night gallery episode.
Yeah. So it was bothering me, but I wrote it for, I don't know, 6 months, a year, or something like that. And then at some point, I sold it to another dude, and that was another me standing out in my driveway dude.
Yeah.
That dude showed up with his girlfriend, dropped him off. She was going to follow him home, and then he crashed it.
Really?
When he left.
Did he die?
No. He crashed it, and he dumped it, and he got himself all road rashed up and everything, and then he pushed the bike back to me.
Come on.
I was still on my front
door. What'd you say?
I watched him go down the street. Like, I was doing that thing out in the street. All right, see you on down the road. And he crashed it. Watched him crash it.
And then did he want to return it?
Yeah.
What'd you do?
He pushed the bike back. he pushed the bike back. And he's like, I want my money back. Like, I don't want
so
a motorcycle.
Like,
I go... Okay, well, I said, I had all his money in my pocket.
Yeah.
And he goes, like, he was shaking.
Yeah.
Like, because after you crash a motorcycle, you're freaked out.
You felt bad for him.
I did.
Yeah.
So I was like, I said, you've got to sell your motorcycle to get your money back.
You said know? That. That's very,
yeah,
very presence
and,
of mind.
And he's like, I just want my money back. And I'm like, okay, I will help you sell your motorcycle. It's your motorcycle. You just sell it, and then you see how much money you can get back. And he was like, I think he said, like, he may have said, like, I just keep $100 or something, like, give me the thing. But I was like, what am I going to do? How am I going to sell this bike now? It's all dinged up, you know?
Yeah.
So I said, he was shaking. Like, he didn't want anything to do with the motorcycle.
Yeah, he passed the shaking test.
He did not want to touch the motorcycle again. So I said, I will keep the money.
Yeah. That was the first part. Barter point.
I will ride the motorcycle because you don't want to ride it.
Yeah.
To an independent place on Magnolia. There was a little motorcycle repair place, like a little junker place. I will ride it there. The peg was busted off on the left side, on the shifter side. So you had no place to rest your foot. Yeah. So you had to shift by like floating your foot in the air and kind of kicking it up. But it was like 2 miles away or whatever. I rode it over there. It was a little squirrely. It was a little screwed up. Dropped it off. It was like guy fixed it in like 2 days. It was like $100. I paid him. I think I paid him or whatever. I rode the bike home, and then it was still in the recycler.
Yeah.
So this all took place on like a Thursday.
Yeah.
And then like on Saturday morning, the phone rang and the guy goes, "Is your bike still for sale?" And I go, "Well, yeah, it is." Like, I was like, what do you need to know about all this? What happened? And so I probably called the dude whose bike it was, but it was with me, you know, and I just said, I got a guy who's buying your bike. You know, he may, you know, you're going to lose $100 or whatever because we had to fix the thing. But we basically got what he paid minus what it cost to fix it. And the good news is that guy didn't kill himself.
Well, that's what I was going to say. That probably would have happened.
Now, he later went on to shoot John Lennon. But
that guy's name is John Hinckley. And that guy's name? John Hinckley.
And now you know the rest of the story. I used to interact with fucking weird people all day long, man.
Right.
I lived in an apartment that was off an alley.
Yeah.
And the dudes who traveled the alley, they're not.
It's another world.
They're not taking shortcuts. They don't want to be seen.
Right.
They don't, because they don't want to walk down Laurel Canyon and have a cop pull over or an ex-wife or whatever. They use the alley. And I used to deal with all kinds of dudes in that alley, man, because I'd be out there working on my car in the garage.
So you see them all, meet them.
Some weird dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I was always.
But that's, you know, that's the part of life that's fun sometimes.
I've had those dudes sleep in my living room.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've had those dudes go, like, they start talking to you for a while, you know, and then they go,
hey, they belly up to you. Yeah.
Old lady, man, she kicked me out. I've been drinking, man. You think I could just kind of crash on your... And I'd let them do
it. And you wouldn't feel nervous. You would get knifed in the throat sleeping.
There's the one quality that I do not possess is a fear of people. And
really?
Things.
You don't?
I never have.
Right.
I had weird people.
Then I sleep over tonight?
Yes, you may. The one guy I met in the alley was great, which was Mike, the cement contractor.
Yeah.
That guy was great. He got drunk and he fell asleep, and I was watching him sleep on my sofa, right?
I just sat there with popcorn studying him.
I was just looking at him. He's like, I was on his back. He had a big mustache. He was missing his front teeth. So he was asleep, right?
Yeah.
He's laying on his back. He's like, you know, snoring.
Yeah.
Got a big belly on him and he's covered in concrete in his sleep.
Sure.
And I'm just watching him. And at some point in his sleep, I just see him go, and he pops up and he hawks a loogie across the room and goes right back on his back.
Oh.
Totally did it in his sleep. Just fucking hawked it.
You and clearly a CPAP candidate, right?
Now. Oh, he can't be around. Yeah. Mike can't be alive.
Yeah.
And his brother can't be alive either because his brother's profession.
Yeah.
Typewriter repair.
Oh,
my
kid doesn't even know what that is.
I know.
I've tried to show them.
His profession. Typewriter repair.
I had an electric typewriter in college.
That's a big ticket item.
Big ticket.
We had one. My grandfather owned electric typewriter. Yeah. That was kind of a big deal.
Sure.
In our family.
Fast with the white eye.
Big ticket item.
Big ticket.
All right, ADT. This episode is brought to you by ADT, the nation's...
That alarm could save you from people like Loogie Hawk and Mike. Am I right?
It could have. I wish I had it. All the latest innovation, smart home security, plus 24/7 monitoring. A team of pros design and install a secure smart home just for you. They have 18,000 employees with connection to first responders, and they're monitoring all the time. Secure smart home, video doorbells, indoor and outdoor cameras, smart locks and lights controlled from the ADT app or your voice, professionally monitored carbon monoxide and smoke detectors. Please do not literally sleep on those carbon monoxide detectors. Safety on the go with the ADT Go app and the SOS button in case there's a problem. So, ADT. Everybody, let's take care of business.
Let me ask you a quick ethical question. Do you feel that I need to replace this gentleman's iPhone screen because he put it up on a high plug precariously perched on a box that was sticking out? I went to unplug another item and I knocked his phone off the outlet. It fell and it broke. And I said, oh God, I'm sorry. Take it to the store, see what you can do. If you can, I'll help you pay. I said, help you pay. So he gave me a bill for $70 yesterday. Do I have to pay this, boys?
I base everything on their bracket. Like,
he's a kid.
You got the dinner with Jimmy Kimmel. The fucking bill's $1,300.
Yeah.
He grabs it and picks it up.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I thank him, but I don't think twice about it. But if I'm going out to dinner with some guy, it doesn't make any...
Right.
Like, I go out to dinner with guys that don't make that much money, and they go, oh, you paid last time. It's my turn. And I go, no, it's never your turn because you make one-tenth of what I make.
Right.
So it'll always be my turn.
So gauge the guy by what you think his income is.
If he's got money, you don't need to do it. It wasn't your fault. But if he doesn't, then you should, even if it was your fault.
Right,
Eddie, 50, Tustin, what's going on?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey. Thanks for taking my call. Got a question for you. So, my wife and I were going to do a room addition and a bathroom, and I couldn't believe the thing came in at $200,000. I thought, okay, never mind. I've got a ranch-style home built in the 50s. It's got RV parking on the side. I don't have an RV, but I do have vintage cars. And so one of the things that I'd, you know, kind of been thinking about doing is on the side, it's all dirt right now. And it's probably about, I would say, maybe about 1,000 square feet on the side that I've got to play with. But what I like to do before a weekend of a car show is I'll come to my shop, grab a car, and then I'll take it home Friday night, because, of course, car shows are always at the ungodly hours in the morning. And so rather than coming to the warehouse, getting a car out early in the morning, I like to take it home and then just drive from the house. But the thing is, right now it's dirt, and I'm trying to think of, you know, maybe some sort of a, whether it's rocks or something, or, you know, like they do in Europe, where I could actually drive onto stuff. So when, if and when it does rain here in Southern California, you know, it doesn't get super muddy. And I've got big gates, you know, to go in and out of. But I'm trying to think of something that would still look nice and something that I'm not going to completely sink into, if that makes sense.
Oh, DG, you know? Right? DG.
Yeah. Well, a couple things, Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
I have thoughts. These guys down the street, man, they... Couple warehouses away from where we are in the corner. Somebody bought it. Somebody just did the driveway. These guys came in. They jacked out the asphalt and they formed it, laid it out, compacted it, poured it, finished it. I mean, it was literally 3 days done.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think to myself all the time, the fucking asphalt, such a pain in the ass, yeah. And it gets all cracked up and fades and looks all shitty, and then people keep redoing it, and they go, oh, put a skim coat or whatever.
Paint, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, I get it. I get the concrete ain't free. It's not cheap, but man, these guys, you know, back in the day, I think you would, I don't know, something going on with your headphone there, Eddie?
No, I don't know what it is. Sorry, man.
Getting a little static. It's like talking to Mike August. Okay. So,
thrashing.
I'll put you on hold for 1 second. Look, back in the day, if you wanted to do your driveway, you just hire a concrete contractor who was probably doing foundations or retaining walls or patios or whatever. Now he's doing your driveway.
Right.
Now they got driveway guys.
Right.
They just come in. Jack it out, knock it out, and I mean 3 days, a whole bunch of concrete poured, pumped, finished, done.
Yeah.
Now, again, it ain't free.
Yeah, it's probably about $3,500 for that.
And it ain't cheap.
Right.
But it's done.
It is.
And,
forever.
And it's forever.
Forever.
And
yeah.
I'm just starting to think, man, if you can do it, do it.
Yeah. I guess the question for this gentleman is, are you doing it yourself, or do you have a budget to hire?
I wouldn't.
No, I definitely want to do it myself. I mean, I'm from the school of stick to what you know how to do.
Yeah,
because you know, I don't want to screw it up. you know, the other thing that I was thinking about was that sort of I don't know what you call it, that crosshatch concrete where grass kind of grows, you know, in between the little squares.
Yeah, pervious pavers, right?
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot. I've examine this from many angles.
Yeah.
And there's like, oh, we're going to run the thing, then we're going to run the grass in between. It always dies. It
does.
Never works.
Yeah.
It just, I'm saying, Eddie, I'd get some bids from these driveway places. Just get a bid. See what it is.
Yeah.
Because
and bid $3,500 versus your time for 3 weeks.
I don't want to give you a price. I don't know what the price
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
But I am telling you, you go, oh, I don't want to pay $9,000. You go, okay, but then what are all the pavers cost, and what's all the compaction cost, and what's the decomposed granite cost,
right.
And then what's the labor cost, and
right.
then what's it going to look like when you're done?
Yes.
And what's it going to look like 4 years
and
from
your
now?
Your time.
Yes.
Most
yes.
importantly.
Yeah,
it does make sense. You're right.
Do you have this in your neighborhood where you see people that have, like, nice houses, and they have the cement ramp and then the asphalt driveway, and it's all fucked up after that.
Yeah, and I'm the like, roots just, growing through
just
and stuff.
Replace it.
Yeah.
You know what? You want the saddest thing ever?
What?
In my neighborhood, when they repair curbs, cement curbs,
yeah.
they do it with asphalt.
No.
Yes.
You mean to make it look, is it the kind where it's like a curbless mound? Or is it
no,
a squared
they just,
off
they
curb?
Just patch.
Oh, that's terrible.
They fucking patch cement with asphalt.
Budget cuts everywhere.
Because they're like, well, we're the paver guys, but we just have asphalt, but the curb's fucked up, so just spackle on some asphalt. It's an abomination.
And it looks terrible, the two-tone. Terrible.
It's fucking gross.
Because if they did cement, they'd have to put rebar in and restructure
let me tell you,
it.
You be my supervisor.
All right. Hey. Get out there, and I want you to get there at 7 a.m. at least, and make sure you get that curb patch and ready to go.
Yeah, well, the curb's made of concrete.
Right, so just get out there and throw, pack something in there, quick and dirty. Get in there and just bring
I need concrete.
No, we don't do concrete. We do it.
All we have is asphalt.
No, we do it quickly with asphalt because that's what we do roads with. We're not doing concrete ever again. It's been mandated.
The curb is made out of concrete.
It doesn't matter to me. I don't give a rat's ass what it's made of. It's going with asphalt. We're done. Get it done.
You want me to take the asphalt that we use to patch the road?
Yes.
And put it on the concrete
It doesn't
curb.
Even have to be hot. Form it cold. I don't give a rat's ass. Just get it done. Make it look okay. You know these homeowners are a pain in the ass. Just do it.
You understand I have children, right?
I don't know about your children. I don't give a shit. Whatever.
I have to look them in the eye when I come home from work.
Listen. I lost my family years ago to alcoholism. You look at me. I'm doing fine, right?
Well,
no problem.
You're blind in one
Whatever.
Eye here on your third divorce. All right. Ask me to throw Jews on a train and take them to Auschwitz. Ask me.
Put them on a train and take them to Auschwitz.
When do you want me to do it?
Tuesday.
Done and done. All right. Now ask me to put asphalt on a
put
fucking cement.
Put asphalt on the cement.
Fuck yourself. I'm quitting.
How dare you?
I quit.
Get out of here.
I quit.
Carole, you're fired. You'll never work in this town again.
I quit. I don't care. I would rather do gay porn. And seen. That's what that fucking person should have said when they started spackling on the fucking...
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
God damn it.
The part of Eric Stroma will be played by Matt Fondoli.
Gary, I'm telling you, we've looked for these pictures. I've taken these pictures before. I don't think they're in my phone, but I've taken pictures of fucking... I want to just fucking yell to say, "Give what the fuck gives? Right. What are you doing? What this is?
No, that's
picture.
Terrible.
It's fucking asphalt.
No, that's terrible.
But I mean, they're big, long. There's also some big, long chunks of it as well.
So it's just going to be. It'll come out in a big chunk someday when it recedes from the sun.
I don't know. Terrible. I just. I feel like. Why am I paying taxes if this is what they're fucking doing?
I hear you.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
All right. I got to yell this. I hate this city so much.
Well, listen, and then all of our overpasses are now the homes to a zillion people that can't figure out how to live places.
Well, that's
I believe they're called homeless.
The high cost of housing. So that's right. The mayor.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. They're going to raise. It causes. I just heard a news report like they're going to limit it to a 3% raise on rent because. It contributes to the homeless problem. Does any... I'm going to challenge everyone.
Okay.
Does anyone know anybody who's ever been affected or died of secondhand smoke? And does anyone know anybody who was happily living in a rented apartment and or house, and then the landlord bumped the rent up 5% and they went... I shall now sleep in my own flop under the fucking freeway.
Right.
Does anyone know either one of these human beings?
No.
Does this person exist? Why does the city think they exist in great numbers when you and I know this person doesn't exist? I know people who've moved home. I know dudes who went back to their old fucking room for 3 years and shit like that.
And I grew up in a cougar full of... Salem cigarette smoke, and I do not have lung cancer.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, they drove a cougar.
Yeah.
You know nice.
It. She wrapped it around a tree one night, faithful night in August, up in Wisconsin.
Really?
Threw Ross Johnson through the front windshield.
Wow.
He didn't die, but he lost the top of his ear.
Wow.
That's right.
Well, you don't really need the top of your ear.
No, fuck that. Who needs that?
Steve, 35.
Hey, guys.
Hi, guys.
I love the show.
Hey.
Thank you.
So what I was doing, so I just bought this 4,200 square foot house, and my garage is finished, but it has like no shelving, it has no cabinets, it has nothing, and I wanted to hang up, some of the garage stuff. I have a John Deere room in the house, so all the tools and all the lawn equipment goes in that, but I wanted to build some shelving, and I didn't want it to look like crap in the garage, because the garage is actually finished.
Wait, did you say 4,200 square feet?
Yes.
That would be like $30 million here. Go on.
You'd be shocked how little I paid here. I live in St. Louis, so it's the housing prices are pretty low.
Wow.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, the finished garage, I want to make sure it doesn't look like complete crap from the street. Because when you open up the garage, it's three cars, and when you open it all up, and I just don't want it to look like total crap with the giant brackets on them. I would prefer them to be kind of like a floating shelf if possible, but I feel like that would be too heavy. So I don't know what the best way is to like brace the shelf up so it doesn't sag.
All right, hold on. What size is this shelf approximately? What's the depth of it?
I was thinking like an 8-foot run. So just like a sheet of plywood cut into, you know, maybe 6-inch wide or 6-inch depth.
Just 6 inches.
And what are you doing on this? What's on the shelf again?
I'm just putting like the car stuff out there. Oh. So like,
All right. Well, listen to me. First things first. When you decide the depth of your shelf, pick a number so that when you're done, you have nothing left over in terms of ripping your plywood, right?
Right. Yep.
So if you say, I want a 10-foot shelf, I want a 10-inch deep shelf, you'll get four rips, and then you'll be left with something that's 7 5/8. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
Pick a number like 1 foot or 16 inches or 8.
Divisible by 4 feet.
Right. There you go. And factor in the thickness of the blade. You're going to lose an 1/8 every rip. So when you get to the end, you're not 3/8 or 1/2 inch short. You feel me?
Yep, makes sense.
Okay, that's number one. Number two, they make a lot of nice kind of L brackets that have gussets in them and stuff now, all different sizes and finished, white and black and stuff, you know, kind of Home Depot. They make nicer ones. They get stuff at IKEA and Home Depot and all kinds of stuff. They make some stuff that looks pretty finished.
Sure does, yeah.
And it's pretty nice.
Make sure it fits in the depth of your shelf, too, before you buy everything. Consider that.
And use some, like, panhead finished nut, you know, screws.
And then, if I may interject, too, when you're doing if you're doing plywood shelves, build in, like, a 2-inch face piece that you can glue up and screw into the end grain of your plywood shelf, because that'll give the shelf rigidity for up to 8 feet. It will not bend at all. So you can get a lot more material and a lot less cost on shelving by doing that.
You can buy like a 1x3 that'll be 2.5 inches.
That's right. And that'll look finished then if you use plywood.
I'd glue it and pop it on with a nailer, with a finished nailer. Yep. You could take a chamfer bit and finish it off with a router trimmer.
Sure. From the front, it looks like a full wood shelf, and you're actually doing plywood in 1x.
Yeah, get some nice, they have like finished ply now. Yeah. That's pretty nice, paint grade stuff.
Yeah.
There's plenty of good here, Steve.
Yeah, that sounds great. I'm excited.
Let me warn you of one thing. If you're going short in depth, like you're just going 6 inches deep, and you put a big front bullnose on the front, it'll look a little weird.
Yeah.
So kind of adjust it accordingly.
Scale. That's a scale thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe like 1.5 inches. Please tell me how much this 4,200 square foot house was.
You want to take a guess?
I do.
610.
139. We said it was cheap. I don't know. How much?
It was about 100 a square foot. So
is that
420?
420.
420? Are you kidding me? That's a joke. Lucky.
That's why I have no homeless.
That's right.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, go size out your brackets, go size out your bullnose,
and
go size out everything.
Attach those brackets to your studs, too, because then you won't have to worry about getting drywall anchors.
All right.
Yeah, hey, Geico, everybody, you know what I'm talking about. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off dry cleaning, pick up some milk or leche, as they say. That'd save hundreds of dollars on car insurance, and you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. Just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Take it from someone who knows who's had 6 accidents in 5 months. Insurance helps. It pays. I've got another car. It's beautiful. Make sure you go to Geico. Extra money in your pocket. That's right. The most rewarding to-do you can do today at geico.com.
Ooh, when you total the truck, can I have the bed box?
Yeah. Yes, you can. I want you to. I might even give it to you anyway and just get another one because I love you. What's the matter with that?
Huh? I like it. It's got the diamond plate.
It's nice, man. And it's got a little sliding shelf in it, and it's perfect for transporting. You know, when you have a truck, there's no storage inside it. So I put my kids' shit in the back. It's great.
I don't know, Gary, from the 70s or the 80s, I feel like it was like Weathermate or something. Somebody made those white bed boxes.
With a butterfly opening?
Yeah. They were white. They had a tray that like slid across.
Yes, I
always
had one
of those. Slide
too.
It over, find your drill bit.
Yes.
And I mean,
I had that
white.
On my Mazda B2000. Did you have one of those?
Weather guard.
Weather guard.
That's it.
Weather guard.
Yeah,
looks like they're still very much
white
alive
with red lettering. I remember that.
Yeah, white with red lettering. Yeah. Again, that was a big ticket item for the Corollas, man. Yeah. Every once in a while, here's something I miss.
Yeah.
You'd see it in campers. You'd see it in the bed boxes. You see it in whatever. The dude who got his tools stolen and now had rigged up like a hasp with a padlock or something on top, put like an eye bolt through there, and, you know.
Yep.
See, here's what you kids don't remember. Car stereos, home stereos, TV sets, circular saws. These were big ticket items that people would steal routinely. If you had a car stereo, your stereo would be stolen. If you had people break into your house, take your TV and leave.
Right.
My buddy Chris had an all iron Makita.
Okay.
Makita made a chop saw.
Yeah.
They now make chop saws mercilessly out of aluminum. They used to be iron.
Really?
The
like
base.
Heavy as hell.
He had like a 14 inch chop saw. Some little dude stole it, was like carrying this 80 pounds.
It
was like trying to run down the street with it. I mean, you would get your tools stolen all the
time. Somebody tied a chain to the window bars and ripped it off the side of the house and took all my tools about 10 years ago out in the hood.
Yeah, there's a lot of like cyber crime and stuff now, but people don't really just rip off people's like items that way anymore.
It makes me mad. I had a tile saw stolen a couple months ago out of the back of the truck.
Wet saw?
Yeah, but unfortunately it was the MK. I replaced it with a Harbor Freight that I want to throw in the street. It's a piece of shit. Doesn't do shit. It's just awful. It's just
that's
like
the worst.
You put
the
tray
is,
on the blade on the tile. It's like
here's what happens.
Yeah.
You buy the good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like you buy the Bosch jigsaw.
So good.
Then it gets ripped off.
You want to kill yourself. And you're pissed. Yeah.
And you're like, screw it. I'm going down to Harbor Freight. I'm going to pay $19 for a jigsaw. And then that jigsaw's vibrating. It's putting your arm to sleep.
Yeah.
And you're getting a bad cut. And now you're agitated and out of a jigsaw.
And you have to buy it again. The right one. It's not fair.
When my Rockwell / Porter Cable door planer was stolen from my grandma's house.
Crazy.
It was the lowest day of my adult life.
Who would do that? Out of a feeble old woman, Mrs. Corolla Sr., who would break in and risk life and limb for a fucking planer?
They didn't have to break in.
Why?
Because my old fucking bag of a grandma I said to my fucking grandma, I said,
wait, was she a Corolla or the other side? What was her maiden name? You don't even know.
And she's like, I'll put it to you this way.
You don't even know her name, actually.
My mom called her Helen.
Yeah.
Not mom. She called her Helen.
So she didn't know her. No one knew that. This woman might not even be related to you.
It was kind of funny because she was technically my mom's mom.
Okay.
But she didn't really like my mom, and my mom called her Helen.
Yeah.
Like you would call somebody who wasn't your mom.
Yeah.
It wasn't formal. It was more like, you're not my mom.
Yeah, you're fucking Helen.
I said to my grandma once, I went, does it bother you that your daughter calls you Helen and not mom? And she's like, no, why would it? And I'm like, But when you're in front of people,
yeah,
and they're calling you by your first name, like you're fucking Homer Simpson, and I was like, she's like, no. I said,
whatever, Helen.
I would fucking pay my daughter $10 every time she called me mom. Like,
yeah,
if we threw a party, because right, I'd be embarrassed.
Yeah.
There was some fucking homeless junkie guy.
Yeah.
And he like said, hey, I'll charge you $2 to rake your lawn or something.
Yeah.
And my grandma went like, all right, have at it. Yeah. And that guy just walked in and
took it. Cased it and took it.
My Porter cable. Speaking of the case came in a big metal box. I know we've talked about this, but he pulled it out of the case.
No. And then left you empty.
So that I had this brand new case the whole time. Like brand new, and the you should have seen, like,
that's like raping you with a condom and then giving you the condom back in a mail item, like a
it's
letter.
Exactly the same. Not even like it is. When I reached down and I picked up that fucking case,
yeah,
and I could tell there was nothing.
Did you
in
stare
the case
at Helen and glare at her? Like, what did you do, or did you think it was something else?
I went to my grandma. And I remember there are two times I threw myself on the mercy of the Corollas.
Yeah.
One time I told my mom I had a bunch of parking tickets or something, and I had warrants, and I had no money to pay for it, and I was going to get arrested if I got pulled over on my motorcycle. And I thought she was going to go, how much do you owe?
Yeah.
But she said, take Kittredge Street instead of Ventura. There are no cops there. And I got arrested the next morning. The next fucking morning. And this is the other time I went to my grandma and I just went, who stole my Porter cable, whatever? And she's like, I must have been the homeless guy, like I let in. And I was like, man, that I make my living with that tool, and now I can't, and I don't have the money to replace it. And I thought she was going to go like,
oh, I'll do
well,
it.
What's it cost?
Yeah.
Or, well, I'll split the cost. And she was like, yeah, well, what are you going to do? And she like went in the next room, and I was like, oh, all right.
Oh.
Thank you, bitch.
What happened to her?
She's dead.
She just died.
It's good.
Whatever.
It's fine.
Hey, speaking of not dying, but actually doing great, tell me about this roast you did, and it's going to be on tomorrow night, right?
Oh, thanks, Stromer.
Yeah, what happened?
We roasted.
That's Alec Baldwin, for Christ's sake.
Roasted Alec Baldwin.
That's fantastic, man.
It's kind of weird sitting up there next to De Niro.
Do you know Alec Baldwin? Or did you,
yeah, I do.
You do.
I got myself on that roast by basically just calling Alec Baldwin.
Fantastic,
and telling him I'm
man.
Getting on that roast. Well, Mike August said do it.
And then do you know De Niro from another time?
No, I don't know De Niro. I just met him at the roast.
What do you say to De Niro when you meet him?
I told him that I thought Raging Bull, while everyone thinks is, you know, one of the greatest boxing dramas ever,
yeah,
I said it was kind of a comedy. It had a ton of comedy in
yeah
it. Like, you and Pesci were super funny
yeah
together.
What did he say?
He agreed. He said, like, Joe's like really funny. Like the scene where he's telling him to punch him.
Right, right.
I said, that's like it's a super funny.
It's almost like Three Stooges
comedic
on
scene.
Yeah.
All right, you guys can watch tomorrow night on Comedy Central. Thank you. You can, this Friday, September 20th, Lexington, Kentucky, comedy off Broadway, and you can watch us do a live pod there. West Palm Beach Improv, October 3rd, live pod there. And then stand-up, Napa Uptown Theater, September 27th. And just go to amcroll.com for all the live shows and the movies and Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y. And check out Podcast One. We're live Gold Rush on Podcast One as well, Stromer.
Yeah, just tweet me. I love answering your questions. Thank you for doing that, guys. I love it.
So, till next time, I'm Kroll for Eric Stromer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.